The woman in your life will do what she must do to comfort you and calm you down and let you rest now. The woman in your life, she can rest so easily. She knows everything you do because the woman in your life is you.
Yes, the woman in your life is you. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Women's Spaces. My name is Elaine B. Holtz, and I'm your host. And with me at the board is my friend, partner, and engineer, Ken Norton. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning.
Well, yes, the woman in your life is you, and I have two special women with me in the studio today. Joining me is Cammie Courtwright. Is that, did I pronounce your name right? Also with me in this, and we will be talking about Standing Rock and the fundraiser that is happening on May 26th for the legal defense for the water protectors. Remember that word, water protectors. These are people who are trying to protect the earth and all its resources so we, human beings, can continue to have the quality of life that we're used to, but they are still having quite a struggle. Also with me in the studio is Mara Ventura, who's the lead organizer of the North Bay Jobs with Justice. And the North Bay Jobs with Justice believes that all workers should have a collective bargaining right, employment security, and a decent standard of living within an economy that works for everyone. You know, it's really interesting. I can't help but go back to the days with my father, who was a union man, Mailers Union number 9. And what he said is there's not a boss that will give you a raise if the workers are not organized. So that's what North Bay Jobs with Justice is all about, is organizing the various union and workers here in Sonoma County. I want to do a special shout out to the folks who showed up at KBBF Spring Dance fundraiser on this Saturday. Oh, I'm telling you, we've had parties, but this was the best one. I want to do a special shout out to the Los Ritamos, who did the wonderful, wonderful band. I mean, I'm sorry I didn't get the name of the lead singer, but I tell you, I never saw a woman that had so much energy. I mean, she kept us all moving and dancing. So a special shout out to everybody that attended to support this station, our, you know, the first bilingual radio station in the United States right here in Sonoma County. And thank you for all the folks that showed up. And a special shout out to the staff that worked so hard to bring this together. I mean, sitting at the door, taking money, serving food, all the wonderful things that people do to bring an event like this together. So thank everybody for their part. Well, you know, I have two really sad announcements today, and it really gets to me. First of all, I want to do a shout out for a dear acquaintance of mine, Donna Lee Alsrod. She passed away in March 22nd. I just found out about it. Donna committed herself to Gather the Women Gold Blue Matrix and Gather the Women North Bay because she saw a future filled with women encouraged and supported by each other. And I hope we keep the dream alive. And to her family and friends, I was really sorry to hear that. I know she worked very, very hard to keep this organization going. And if anybody out there from Gather the Women is listening, please email me at Elaine at Women's Spaces. I'd like to organize to have an interview to talk about your organization and also to give Donna a little airtime. You know, life is a mystery. You know, and I see that every day. I mean, the longer I live, the more mysterious it comes to me. You know, we think we know something, but yet we don't know anything. And when tragedy hits us and it just breaks our heart, you know, I'm thinking about the death of young Andy Lopez. We're coming up to his birthday next month. He would have been 18 years old. And really, really sad, a really sad situation in our community. And also what even made it somewhat, somewhat bearable was the community organization around what happened with young Andy, that we developed a group called the Justice Coalition for Andy Lopez. And two very, very special people were part of that coalition, Marnie and Chris Roth. I mean, just tremendous people. I mean, they did picket lines in front of the sheriff's office and just all kinds of things to bring awareness to the community of what was happening. And it is with a heavy heart I send out condolences to the family of Marnie and Chris Roth. On May 12th, the night before their youngest boy's graduation from Humboldt State University, and what's so interesting is I was there at the same time when my future granddaughter was graduating. And they were informed that their eldest son, Branch Roth, was tasered and killed by Rohnert Park police. Folks, this is the closest that this has happened to me. You know, it's real interesting when you hear about these shootings, you hear it's a young African-American man or an Asian or whatever's going on. You say, okay, you feel bad. It's out there. It's their family. But when it's this close, when you're walking arm in arm with people, protesting, setting up all kinds of different issues, going to boards of supervisors, and then all of a sudden you find out their son was killed unnecessarily by being tasered. I mean, it's beyond me. So I want to send my deepest condolences to the Roth family. I'm really sorry to hear that. As a mother, as a grandmother, as a woman, I cannot fathom what that pain must feel like. I remember when I looked into the eyes of Andy Lopez's mother, I said to myself, Great Spirit, you can give me anything, but don't give me that. Do not take a child from me in this fashion. And here it is, my dear friend Marnie Roth and her husband Chris Roth, and here they lost their son Branch. I mean, it's ironic to me. But the other side of the coin is, I know the Roths, and they're going to work hard to make sure that this does not happen to another mother's son. And you know, when it happens to one person, when it happens to one child, you got to get through this through your head. When it happens to one child, it happens to all our children. You know that old saying, there but for fortune go you or I? Well, you just never know. So it's really, really sad. It's sad for everybody. It's even sad. I mean, I even feel bad for the policeman's family. I mean, can you imagine, you know, coming home and telling your wife or your children, hey, I just killed someone. It's not a pleasant sight. That's why we have to start looking at better ways to run our society. Well, it's really, we need to take a moment and thank the Great Spirit for this day and this moment, that everything is kind of peaceful and everything is kind of settled, because there's a lot going on in the world and we need to stay involved. You know, it's really interesting. We have an election coming up June 6th. There's this Measure C on rent control. What's so interesting about this is a real telltale election, because you've got $300,000 coming in from the opposition who want no, and for the people who want yes, who are trying to bring rent control in, you've got the grassroots organizing. And my question is, who's going to win? Is the money going to win? Are we going to be fooled again by money, or are we going to listen to the people who are calling us, who are walking, who are doing all the things they can to educate us? So it's really something to think about and to look at. Another announcement I have is right now, in this Wednesday, they're going to have Dr. Nick Anton, M.D., at the Santa Rosa Veterans Memorial Dining Hall, the Santa Rosa Democratic Club, and they're going to be talking about single pay. So I encourage people to check it out. You can also have dinner. It starts at 4:45 to mix and mingle, and it goes all the way on to around 9 o'clock. But this sounds really, really interesting about the fact that, you know, we're going to be talking about single pay, and it may happen in California. You know, it makes a lot of sense. Hey, folks, if we can afford $619 billion on weaponry, or I guess we just made $100 billion weapon sales through our new president. If we can afford that, we can certainly afford health care. And also on Tuesday, May 23rd, that's tomorrow, at the Rohnert Park Police, and that's going to be at 130 Avram, A-V-R-A-M Avenue in Rohnert Park, they're going to be having comments on what happened with Branch Roth. So if you're so inclined to go down there, it sounds like the folks need to speak out. We need to speak out against this. I mean, two tasers and a young man is dead. Oh, my God. It just does not make sense to me anymore. Well, on the upside, but then this is upside downside. I don't know what side to call it, but on this Saturday, that's May 27th from 3 on, we're going to be having the 30th Annual Memorial Weekend Potluck Party Barbecue, and it's going to be a benefit to help Lee Gooding, who is a veteran in his battle with cancer, and it's going to be at 6101 Van Kempel Road in Forestville. No dogs, please, and you can get tickets at 887-2561 or 766-4597. Also, it'll be listed on womenspaces.com if you need further information. But, you know, Lee Gooding has been one of these people who has contributed so much to our community. I mean, every year he does this Memorial Weekend. He's the director for a group called HAVE, Helping American Veterans Endure. And he's just been a really superior, how can I say it? It just really has helped the community tremendously. And this is a way that we can help him. I mean, he's a dear friend. I consider him a brother. And that's why I'm making this announcement for him. And I really encourage people to come. Ken and I will be there. We're actually going to be at the door taking money. And anybody that shows up will have a copy of the Women's Spaces Pledge. And I think it's really important that we support one another in our community. And you know, it's so crazy with healthcare and everything. Here's another example. We're doing a fundraiser because healthcare, I mean, there's a big question mark. You know, what is it? You know, anybody ask the question, how come we can afford all this money on military and war and destruction? And yet when it comes to healthcare, when it comes to providing for our citizens, our children, good education, you know, housing, I mean, there's so many struggles going on, and you have to ask yourself this question. Why is the money going towards destruction instead of life? Just start questioning that. Call your congressmen, call your senators, call your local people. Start questioning, saying, what is going on here? Why is it so difficult to get $15 an hour? I mean, people can't even afford rent, and they can't get a decent salary. It does not make any sense to me. And, you know, at the same time, the irony of it all is we call ourselves Christians. Christians. So what we do to the least of them, we throw under the bus. I mean, come on, folks. We really have to start thinking about it. Well, that's a lot to chew on. But, you know, Women's Spaces, that's what it's all about. Just women, we have to start standing up for ourselves, standing up for the children, standing up for the future, and becoming fearless. And I know the next woman that I'm going to have on, and the next two women, actually, are out there in the public, in the community, doing the best they can. Well, we're going to take a musical break, and I will be playing a wonderful song for those who dream. And it's from a collection of women's Native American songs, and it's being sung by Joanne Shenandoah. It's called For Those Who Were There. And when we come back, I will be talking with Cammy Courtright, and we will be getting an update on Standing Rock. Anyway, here we go with For Those Who Dream.
In walking through life, many of us are guided by our dreams. Aguego, Lona de Sonta, Scalonia Day. For so long, I dreamed a dream where the sweet grass stays. Sky, they dream. to those that dream above the stars, wherever they are, beyond the sky, beyond the sky they dream.
My goodness, that was beautiful. For those who dream, and I got news for you folks, I'm dreaming here myself. People come together as one, and the warriors put down their guns. I mean, what a people come together as one, and the warriors put down their guns. Oh God, gives me chills. Anyway, for you just tuning in, you're listening to KBBF 89.1 FM Calistoga, Santa Rosa. I want to remind my listeners the opinions expressed here are not necessarily the opinions of KBBF, its board of directors, members, and Women's Spaces. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz. And without further ado, I want to introduce my guest, Cammie Courtwright. Welcome, Cammie. Welcome to Women's Spaces.
Thank you for reaching out and connecting with us, too.
Oh, I'm really excited about this. And also, you know, it's really been kind of heavy in the studio, you know, so it was beautiful to hear this wonderful song, For Those Who Dream. I just love that we are one the warriors put down their guns. I mean, it can't get any better. Well, Cammie, let me tell my listeners just a little bit about you, if that's okay. I just found out that the two women in the audience with me here in the studio, actually, we all have BAs, or actually, Cammie has an MA in sociology, but Mara has a BA, and I have a BA in sociology from Sonoma State, so we're in good company together. Well, like I said, Cammie Courtwright obtained her master's degree in sociology with an emphasis in gender and cultural studies. In 2000, she volunteered in a Women's Health Education Resource Center on Native American reservations in South Dakota. She also has worked in a women's shelter for abused women on the reservation and the area of alcohol and drug addiction with various populations, including working with Native American women. Cammie currently works as a behaviorist for a progressive agency which serves the special needs population. Additionally, she has written a humorous blog about her hometown, I guess comes from Sebastopol, and recently, congratulations, was invited to be a columnist for the Sonoma West Times. Well, welcome and congratulations.
Oh, thank you very much.
You know, I write for the Sonoma County Gazette. I wrote Santa Rosa Snippet, so we have sociology, and we're both columnists. So welcome, Cammie. Welcome to Women's Spaces. Anything else that you'd like to add that we may have missed about yourself that you'd like to share with our audience?
Oh, just that I began getting involved with Sonoma Solidarity for Standing Rock back in about January, and they've been going since last September.
I know. It's really, really interesting. Well, you know, talk about Standing Rock. Talk about how you got involved. A little bit of a background. I know I did several interviews with several different people about how these people were fighting to prevent the pipeline from coming into North Dakota. Talk a little bit about them and give us a little background and how you got involved and what was your motivation for getting involved.
Okay. And also I wanted to say I appreciated you really underlying the importance of calling them water protectors rather than protesters, because that is a big distinction, especially from the Native American standpoint. So I did want to mention, I volunteered on a reservation in South Dakota back in 2000, so it was 17 years ago, and I went to a powwow there, and I remember an elder getting up and talking about at some point the Dakotas would be called upon to defend their land, and I remember thinking that was so strange because I just couldn't picture a war in that region of the country. And so I thought about that a lot when Standing Rock first started, that was something I had heard 17 years ago that stuck in my mind. And I personally just, you know, watched a clip one day that a friend sent me. I think it was back in August or September. And it talked about the unity of all the different tribes coming together to protest this pipeline and to stand up for indigenous rights and, of course, water, and to protect the water. And it felt very significant to me, and so I started following it every day. And then I went to the Bioneers Conference in October in San Rafael, and they had 7 or 8 Native Americans who had been at Standing Rock, who had literally just flown out to be at Bioneers, and they were telling us what was going on, what was being misrepresented in the media, even unfortunately in social media, and just talked about ways we could support Standing Rock, good websites to follow, and just how things, such as they were reporting on in the media that the drilling had stopped because of the protests, and that wasn't true. I heard that from 3 or 4 different people who came, you know, from Standing Rock, said that, no, it's absolutely still going on.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I heard on the news maybe about a week or two ago that they already had their first spill of chemicals. I mean, you know, folks, forget the protests. These are water protectors. I mean, when you start thinking about it, they're not just protecting the water for themselves. They're bringing an awareness to us. We cannot survive as human beings without water, period.
Period.
There's no ifs, ands, or buts.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You know, I mean, you get dehydrated, you'll go into the hospital, and they really work hard to get you going. So, you know, people have to understand that's why they're called water protectors. They're protecting it for all of us, because if they can go into one county or one place, they can go into all places. Mm-hmm. So I didn't mean to get so, but this, it just aggravates me that there's so much negativity that comes down on this when people don't recognize what these folks are trying to do. So go ahead and continue.
Well, I personally was just very taken back by just the courage I kept seeing, you know, the people that were in the camps, what was happening, what they were willing to do. I appreciated the ceremonial aspect of everything that was going on. Shortly after Bioneers, there was a lot of more publicity that came to Standing Rock because Mark Ruffalo, who's an actor, went out there and he started doing some interviews on CNN and different places like that to bring more attention to Standing Rock. So people started, you know, understanding more what it was about. People started going there and donating things. And Chase Iron Eyes, I don't know if you know who he is. He's an attorney activist from North Dakota who actually ran for Congress last fall and didn't win. But he's also been very involved in Standing Rock and one of the people that was arrested and now has a felony charge against him. We helped to facilitate bringing him to the JC a month or two ago. So he came and spoke at the JC. It's also online. It was an excellent, excellent presentation. It was standing room only. It was completely packed, which was nice.
Why do you think it was standing room? I mean, what do you think a lot of people are interested, or what do you think their motivation is with that so many people show up?
You know, that's a really good question. And I have to say, in talking to a lot of people, because we table at events and do information, it's really interesting because we get such a wide variety. We were just at the JC Day Under the Oaks a couple weeks ago, and I was at a table all day. I had people walking up to me asking me what Standing Rock was, which really surprised me. And then I had people walking up saying, what can I do? I love Standing Rock. I've been following it since the beginning. So there is something that really calls to people about it. I think that, of course there's issues around indigenous rights and sacred lands and all of that, and I don't want to trivialize any of that. But also, as you said, I feel like this is a human issue of clean water and of corporations going in and destroying resources and regardless of the consequences. And it feels to me like Standing Rock was a catalyst in kind of a tipping point of people hitting their limit and wanting to do something and wanting to change the trajectory that we're on. And so I do feel like it it appeals to people on lots of different levels because it's has issues with the environment, it has issues with Native rights, but also there seems to be kind of an underlying spiritual calling for a lot of people. You know, they're drawn for kind of bigger global reasons. So I think it's just one thing from my experience.
But I think the reason, like you said, it's a human, it's not only the Native Americans, it which gives us a chance to go into the past, you know, because we start thinking about the medicines and the way their standard of life. I mean, I know one of the things that I walked away from the Native American culture was the idea of preparing for seven generations. So they have so much to offer us, you know, there's so much of the old ways. I mean, let's face it, you know, we've only had medicine and all this technology, not even 100 years. Mm-hmm. And look at the bees are already disappearing.
Right, so, exactly.
And here you have, cultures that have been around for thousands of years that they survived, and here we are, we're so young, and we're depleting ourselves. So there's a lot to learn from the past, and I think people resonate with that. And then again, the water. Mm-hmm. You know, because like I said at the beginning, there's no way that we can live without water. You can't even make synthetic water. You know, you can make funny foods, but you cannot make synthetic water. So it's very, very interesting. Well, you know, Cammie, from your experience and from being with the folks and going down there, what do you think the message is that they're trying to project to the public?
And do you mean right now, currently?
Yeah.
So, and also, I just wanted to interject, we do have some Native American women that are part of the local volunteer group, and we were hoping they were going to be there today. So, unfortunately, none of them were able to come. But I did actually go online and was looking at some of the groups that I've followed, wanting to see what they're saying exactly. And most of the messages seem to come down to divesting, activism, and moving toward more renewable energy sources. So that seems to be the three things that most of the websites are talking about at this point.
Well, divesting, they mean is don't invest your money in fossil fuels or things that are destructive, you know, like military, like arms. You know, people buy stocks into companies they don't even recognize what they're supporting. I mean, we've gotten to the point, folks, I mean, this is my feeling. We have gotten to the point where money has to be secondary and environment and people have to be the first priority, especially the future of our children. So go ahead, continue, Cammie.
There was just a quote, if that's okay to read. It's a short quote, but it's there's a website called Last Real Indians, and Chase Iron Eyes is involved in this website, and one of the coalition leaders said, big oil and their financial bankers are not persuaded by moral and environmental arguments, so it is time to hit them in the pocketbook. The resistance at Standing Rock changed the world. Indigenous nations are rising up to create a future with clean water and respect for human rights.
Clean water and respect for human rights. I mean, why is such a simple thing so complicated? Think about it. Clean water and human rights, and this is what we're struggling for. But yet it's easy with war and all the other things that happen. It's mind-boggling. That's all I have to say. Well, you know, we're kind of coming to the end of the segment, and it goes by very quickly. So I'd like you to answer two more questions. The first question is, what is going on now? I know that there's some rumors. It's hard to pick up to really find out what is happening. So what is it that you believe is happening at this time?
Right. A lot of the camps have dismantled. There were a lot of websites and people that I was following. There have been some coalitions that have gone to the UN and talked about human rights violations that took place at Standing Rock, and also just standing up for indigenous nations and sovereign rights and things like that. There's been groups that have gone to DC and different places to do protests and marches, again, around divestment. But that does seem to be the common theme about a lot of the things that I've seen, is really getting folks to understand more the importance of divestment and to encourage them to take funds out of the banks that are, you know, backing the companies that are backing the pipeline, and so that our vote can be that way. Taking our money and putting it into credit unions, public banks, local banks, things like that.
Well, you know, so. It's interesting when you hear talking about divestment and money, and why is that important? That's important because that's how the country runs. The country runs on money and investment. So if you divest and you put your money into things that you feel are going to help life rather than take it away, I think you'd feel a lot better. So I would encourage anybody out there that's listening that might have stocks or bonds or any of the things that they might invest in, to check it out. Call your stockbroker and say, who is this company? What do they believe in? What is their moral statement? What is their mission statement? You know, are they for sustaining life? Are they for destroying life? I mean, that's a real big question, especially if you have children out there. You know, you got to worry about their future. You know, you can't just say, oh, well, you know, I'll put it off to somebody else, because somebody else doesn't happen. So I think that the divesting is something that we can all work on. We can also look at. Well, let's go into the next segment here. I want to talk. We're going to be having this Friday. It's hard to believe. God, the month goes by. I'm looking Friday, May 26th. I mean, where did May go? You know, I'm still wondering what happened to January. And here we are almost to June already. By the way, my grandson's getting married June 17th. So time is really running away with me. Talk about this fundraiser. It's called Sonoma Solidarity with Standing Rock Fundraiser. Now, who is Sonoma Solidarity?
So that's the local group that I became involved with in January. They came together in September, and they've just been doing anything they can do that's, in conjunction with Standing Rock issues. So we've had information tables at events. We've gone to protest. We've had actions to protest a large company that backs the pipeline down in Mill Valley. And now we want to do a fundraiser specifically to help people that were arrested at Standing Rock, to help with their legal defense. So that's what the proceeds from this fundraiser are going to go to. It's this Friday in Sebastopol. And just as I want to underline, our group is not making any money off of this fundraiser. All of the proceeds are going to go toward legal defense for the water protectors.
So it's going to be happening Friday, May 26th. And where is it going to be happening?
It's at Wishman Hall, which is in Sebastopol. It's a hall that's very close to the community center in Sebastopol.
And what time is it going to be? And it looks like, I'm looking here, they're asking for a donation of $10 to $100. Give what you can. They're asking no street shoes on the dance floor. I like that one. That's great. And also, they're doing a silent auction.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit more about this group. What is their mission, and what inspires you to stay involved?
Well, I think the mission of the group is to, it was a lot of people that were very concerned about what was happening at Standing Rock, and they came together last fall and just, you know, it's a very volunteer, you know, group. It's everybody's volunteering their time, and it's just to kind of to keep the movement of what Standing Rock started to keep the ripple effects going. And so we're involved in any ways that we can. You know, for instance, Dander the Oaks, we had an information table in the Native American section to let people know more about issues regarding Standing Rock. We also have a new divestment team, so we're doing a lot of research around divestment, what that means. The city of Santa Rosa actually voted years ago to divest from fossil fuels, but it's a super complicated process. So it's not like you just go take your money from one account and move it to another. So we're learning a lot about that. We have meetings every other Saturday at the Peace and Justice Center. It's the second and fourth Saturday of the month at 4 o'clock. And we also have a Facebook page, Solidarity with Standing Rock Facebook page.
Solidarity with Standing Rock.
And or I should say Sonoma Solidarity
Sonoma
with
Solidarity.
Yes.
At Sonoma Solidarity with Standing Rock. So you have a Facebook.
We have a Facebook page.
The event is listed online.
Yes.
And also I noticed that the Peace and Justice Center, on their listing of all events, it's also online.
Great.
So that's going to be this Friday, May 26th, from 7 to 10. And they're going to have a silent auction. And I'm looking at this, where is it going to be again? I don't see it down here.
Oh, let's see. Oh, it's the when is Friday, May 26th. The where is Wishman Hall.
Do you have an address on that?
465 Morris Street in Sebastopol.
Okay, so that's 465 Morris Street. So it looks like that's near
the community center.
Yeah, near the community center. So that's 465, and that's going to be this Friday, May 26th, from 7 to 10. Okay, well, we're coming to the end of the segment, and Cammy, any last words or any last thoughts or website or anything that you would like to share with our listeners, please be my guest.
Well, I really appreciate you reaching out to us. And also, I just wanted to say we need volunteers. There are more things we want to do, and we don't have enough man and women power. So anybody that's interested in coming to our meetings, like I said, they're the second and fourth Saturday at the Peace and Justice Center. You can get more information by going to our Facebook page, but we're really happy to welcome people that are interested in coming to help.
And your website, and how they can get a hold of you.
If they would like to be on our mailing list, they can email sonoma.solidarity@gmail.com, and they can get on our mailing list.
Say that one more time.
sonoma.solidarity@gmail.com.
Well, Cammy, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for being here on Women's Spaces, and thank you so much for volunteering and doing what you're doing. I mean, we need more women like you that step up to the plate and say, hey, listen, this is not right. I want to help. Wrong the right. And also, it's an opportunity for people to donate to the fund for the water protectors to help them. I mean, I can't believe how many obstacles with this law enforcement arresting going. I mean, it makes no sense to me. But
thank you very much.
But that's why we're here, I guess. Anyway, thank you once again to Cammy for being here and talking about Standing Rock. And we're going to take another musical break here, and I will be playing one of my favorite songs by a woman by the name of Beverly Grant. I think I like that song because it's my middle name's Beverly. No, I'm just kidding. By Beverly Grant, and the song is We Were There. And it's a very strong women's statement, you know, because oftentimes, you know, women have been protectors on so many levels, and oftentimes we forget how much women have worked for the rights of children, for the rights of labor. I mean, I could go on and on. And when we come back, I will be talking with Mara Ventura, who is the lead organizer for the North Bay Jobs with Justice. Here we go with We Were There by Beverly Grant.
We have plowed, we have planted, we have gathered into barns, done the same work as the men. With babies in our arms, but you won't find our stories in most history books you read. We were there, we're still here, fighting for the things we need. We were there in the factories, we were there in the mills, we were there in the mines, and came home to think to the sweatshops in New York, from the fields in California, where our children had to work. We fought to make a living, bread and roses was our cry. Though they jailed and beat our bodies, our spirit never died. We were there in the factories, we were there in the mills, we were there. Italian and Latina, Chinese and Russian too. They tried to use our differences to split us all apart. But the pain we felt together touched the bottom of our hearts. We were there in the factories. We were there in the mills. We were there.
Yes, we were there. I think of my father in 1930 when he was protesting to develop a union with the newspapers in Chicago. He showed me the scar on his head that he was hit with a billy club by a policeman, and he said he never forgot that. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I am your host, Elaine B. Holtz. And without further ado, I want to introduce my next guest, Mara Venturo. Welcome, Mara. Welcome to Women's Spaces.
Thank you.
I'm really thrilled to have you. And before we go on and we ask these questions, I'd like to tell my listeners a little bit about you. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Well, Mara Venturo is the lead organizer of North Bay Jobs with Justice. She hails equally from both coasts, but has spent the last 10 years organizing on immigration, education, and workers' rights in the Pacific Northwest. Born in Colombia and brought here as an infant, Mara is proud. She's a proud queer immigrant and very actively involved in her community. I take it that you, when you say you're queer, what does that mean, Mara?
Well, getting complicated here. It just means that I'm not straight, and I recognize that our sexuality is fluid, and mine is fluid, and yeah.
I support that 1,000%, but when all of a sudden you send me this and I see this word, I said, nope. She is a woman of diversity and very actively involved in our community. Mara is deeply committed to social justice and grassroots direct action organizing. As the lead organizer for North Bay Jobs with Justice, Mara spends the majority of her time building a bridge between issues the community is addressing and fights workers are having to win improvements in their workplace and industry. Well, welcome, Mara. Anything else that you'd like to add?
No, that was great.
Well, I'm really, and also I found out along with Cami that you also you were a sociology major. Where did you graduate?
The University of Oregon.
Oh, my goodness.
I almost went to Sonoma State, and then I ended up in Oregon instead.
Well, it's very interesting because when I went to Los Angeles City College, and when I graduated, I got my AA in public relations and journalism, and then they said, why don't I go to try Sonoma State? Well, I was going to try psychology, but if you applied for psychology, the chances of you getting in were nil. So someone said, why don't you apply to be a sociologist? And let me tell you something, that was the best decision I ever made.
It's such an underrated study, I think, for sure.
Well, when you understand the social structures and you understand how people are motivated and what motivates them, it really helps you. And then to have psychology on top of that, you know, to understand how people are thinking, I think it's very, very helpful. Well, listen, talk a little bit about yourself. Talk about Jobs with Justice, with their goals and their background. And how did you get involved? You know, what is your role? You're the lead organizer. What does that mean?
Yeah. So as you said, I'm immigrant, Chicana, queer, not straight. I know that has a different history. So does Chicano, actually. I think both words are sort of reclaimed over time with different social movements to become more a word that's like empowering, that people can hold on to. And they have really shaped not just my identity, but sort of how I've decided to do the work I want to do. And so at the University of Oregon, I got really involved with MECHA, which is an activist Chicano student group from the 1960s that's housed at several college campuses around the country. And I got involved there, and I was out actually on May Day. So it's funny that you were talking about it just being May Day recently. We were out on May Day, and I saw all these signs, all these people carrying signs that said Jobs with Justice. And I didn't know who they were, but I saw them everywhere, and they were wonderful. There was a lot of diversity among them. And over time, I started to see that Jobs with Justice was really there in so many different struggles and fights that I was at, whether it was for Chicano rights or immigrant rights or student rights. You know, we'd be at the state capitol lobbying or rallying or whatever it was, and Jobs with Justice was there. And so as I started to learn more about who they were, they're a coalition. They're in 25 states around the country in 45 cities. And so they look a little different depending on the community. Particularly here in Sonoma, we're 17 organizations, half of which are labor unions and the other half are community organizations. And so, you know, when I had the chance to work for them, it was exciting, beyond exciting, just an organization that I think has been around for since the late 80s and has really been at the forefront of a lot. They were one of the first to actually do immigrant organizing, the first to be organizing day labor workers and to start day labor centers in the country. So I'm really proud to be here and to be doing that. And basically my job as a lead organizer is just to branch out to folks in the community, hear what's going on, what people are working on. I was really excited to meet Cammie because that's sort of something I would be learning about and knowing what's going on in the community, and to be a bridge between workers who are forming unions right now or who have unions and are fighting for a contract and folks in the community and what they're working on. And that's, you know, I'll talk a little today about a campaign we're working on that does just that.
Do you find there's a resurgence of people being interested in organizing unions and being part of the organization again? I know for a while, especially way back when they had the airstrike, I think it was the traffic controllers, the airports, that went on strike, and Ronald Reagan broke that strike, which really, on so many levels, really weakened the union that said the government's in control, not the worker. So do you feel there's a new resurgence and more people are coming forward and are interested in this?
Yeah, I certainly hope so. I mean, I imagine you and many of your audience members were out there at the Women's March this year, where we saw an unprecedented amount of people, not just women, but people out on the streets here in Santa Rosa, but also, you know, across the country. And I would say the only silver lining that has come from the election of Trump is that there are just so many folks that are finally at this point where they're saying, I'm going to be out there. I need to be doing something. Even in my own family, where we have always been political and always had conversations together, but for the first time, I'm really seeing my family step out there. So I think absolutely.
Well, you know, it's interesting you bring family up. You know, my sister Evelyn, one day she calls me up on the phone. She starts yelling at me, why haven't you told me about these things that are going on? I says, every time we were at the dinner table, everybody would say, we don't talk politics. And so we would be quiet. And this is what we were trying to tell you. We were trying to say, this is happening. And it's been happening for the last 40 years, that there's been a buildup. You know, what is in our face today, it's not just Donald Trump. It's a whole history from the last 40 years of moving forward and taking away our rights, taking away our unions, which is one of the most powerful bodies. I mean, people died. People died to create unions. And when you start thinking, particularly around women, you start thinking about that triangle fire, you know, when they're at a time when there was no safety, there was no rules and regulations that kept the workers safe or a decent wage. So, I mean, it's great that people are starting to wake up again.
Yeah, I mean, unions aren't perfect, but they are literally the only mechanism that workers have to be equals at the table with their bosses. And yeah, they are effective. And folks who have been a part of the fight to form a union know just how powerful workers are and what we can do. And I think a great example is making sure that the CEO of Carl's Jr., Andrew Putzer, didn't become our Secretary of Labor. That was also probably one of the biggest wins that workers had in the first 100 days of Trump, is to say, absolutely not are we going to have this union busting, you know, anti-worker CEO, you know, multi-billionaire CEO overseeing, you know, the labor department of our country.
Well, it's the power of the people. That's why I say on this Measure C, you know, it's very interesting. I mean, I don't know if it's right. There's all kinds of things that are pulling at you, but the most important thing is to see, is money, all those flyers that are going out, is that going to be the deciding factor, or is it going to be the people who are out there walking the streets making the phone calls? I mean, I can't believe how many phone calls I've gotten and how many people are out there working. So that is really, really important. So give us a little bit more background of some of the things that you've been involved with while you've been working as the lead organizer for the group.
Yes, so full disclosure, I just started in January, so I've only been here a handful of months, but it's definitely been a whirlwind just from the moment that I came in. I came in right at the time that this Good Jobs and Zero Waste campaign that we're working on right now got started, where, you know, I got introduced to a lot of the workers who pick up our garbage and sort our recycling here in Sonoma. And they've been working for a few years now, actually, to form a union under the representation of the Teamsters, Local 665 here. So that was sort of one of the first things that I stepped into, as well as a fight, as I was talking about a minute ago, as the fight to ensure that we didn't have Andrew Putzer as our Secretary of Labor. But since then, I've also met so many other awesome organizations. H-Piece, a newly formed physicians and healthcare professionals advocacy group, has been out fighting for, you know, healthcare for all. And I got to go to a lobby day with them in the California Nurses Association this past Friday to talk to our legislators about passing universal health care here in California, which would be amazing. And, you know, and then there's just several workers. Another thing I'll bring up a little bit later today is also the Superior Court workers went out on strike in my first week here. So that was really exciting to go support them. And since then, there's been more. You know, the teachers down in Petaluma are in negotiations and have been for a while. And currently, the AT&T workers are out on strike right now.
Well, there's a lot going on in this world.
Just a little.
No, but it's very inspiring, because you hear that people are getting more and more involved. Well, talk a little bit about the Good Jobs and Zero Waste campaign, and how does the North Bay Jobs with Justice envision getting us into zero waste? I mean, what are some of your goals here?
Yes, this campaign is really exciting, because this is sort of like the bread and butter of what Jobs with Justice does. We see ourselves really as a bridge to bring folks together. And so, you know, as I said, there was this great history of these waste workers here in Sonoma trying to form a union and working with the Teamsters to address a lot of their really poor working conditions that they've been in for a long time now, a lot of injuries. And at the same time, there's also concerns because, particularly in Santa Rosa, we are only diverting at 39%, which means that all the rest of what we are throwing away is going into a landfill. And so the Teamsters actually started these zero waste campaigns all across the country, most notably in Los Angeles 2 years ago, where the goals were not only to reduce landfill use, but also to improve health and safety for waste workers, to improve our city's air quality, and then, of course, to improve customer service as well. And so, you know, there's sort of four ways that we envision doing this. And the first one for cities that didn't already have waste workers who were in a union was to ensure that workers had the right to form their unions free of retaliation from their bosses. And just this past Friday, our waste workers here in Sonoma voted at over 90%. There's 300 of them, voted at over 90% to form a union. So they'll now be union and represented by the Teamsters as of Friday. I think
oh
there was,
my God, congratulations.
Yeah, congrats to the Teamsters.
Wow.
So I think about 150 of them marched at 4 a.m. to go cast their ballots.
I mean,
on Friday.
That is such good news. That really is. That is really, really good news. Well, you know, time goes by very quickly in this studio. I mean, no matter how I try to pace it, it just flies. I know that you have an event coming up. You have something happening. If you'd like to talk about that, and also how people can get more involved with you and even make donations.
Yeah. So we were going to have a forum about this program, about this campaign tomorrow, and we had a bunch of flyers out at the People's March, and it is going to be postponed, but we'll be there tomorrow just to make sure that folks know it's being postponed, which is a great thing because our city council, it's being postponed because the city council was going to vote on giving the waste contract for the city of Santa Rosa to a new company in June and has decided to postpone so that they can do more research on
zero waste standards. So did they postpone it because of the union coming in and more research coming in? Is that what happened?
I think as our coalition has grown to have more environmental organizations in the fold, and yes, having workers standing up and saying we want to improve the waste industry here, hopefully that was the reason why the city council has decided they want to take more time to understand how we can get to zero waste and deciding which company should get that contract based on some standards and some new requirements. So because of that, there's a little more time, and we'll be doing our forum in the third or fourth week of June. And so folks can log on to our website at northbayjobswithjustice.org, and there'll be more information. They can sign up on our mailing list there, or we're on Facebook, North Bay Jobs with Justice, where we post a lot of the things that we're going to be at and what's coming up. And that will be a great opportunity for people to hear more and give input on a new compost facility, on bringing waste down, etc.
So how can people get involved really quickly?
Yeah, I think right now it would be great for folks to just be supporting the workers who are fighting for this union to stay involved. Get on our mailing list because there'll actually be some worker events. We've had a few already. We've had tons of folks from the community come out. So thank you to anyone who's listening that was there. But the workers had some meetings just to be talking more about what it means to be in their union and what are their working conditions that they want to address beyond just wages and benefits.
So the website one more time.
Yeah. So it's northbayjobswithjustice.org. And actually we have a fundraiser on June 9th. From 6 to 8 p.m., and those workers will be there as well. So if folks want to come and meet them and chat with them, we're going to be bringing Maria Elena Durazo, who's a really well-known labor activist and who's the vice president of Unite Here International Union there.
That's June 6th?
It's June 9th, Friday, June 9th, from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m.
Okay, if the people can go on womenspaces.com, you give me all the information.
Great.
I'll list it. Well, I want to thank you, yeah, Mara Ventura, for being on Women's Spaces and for doing such a wonderful job. And congratulations on your new position here and helping our people here in Sonoma County. We need more young women like you involved with the same kind of passion and the same kind of background. So thank you so much. Well, folks, what a great show. That's it for our show this week. A reminder, tell your friends Women's Spaces will be aired again at 11 p.m. this evening. I'm so excited. I get to listen to my own program. Also, I'm available for speaking engagement. And if you have any announcements, birthdays, you know, openings, just give me a holler at womenspaces.com. Remember, there's two S's in the middle. Remember, our children are the future, and we must never lose sight of that. I love what our Native American sisters always remind us of, is that we have to look to seven generations. I mean, that's a long time, but at least we know if we're looking that way, we're leaving a good, solid future for our children. Anyway, this is Elaine B. Holtz, and you've been listening to Women's Spaces. I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for listening. And once again, remember that there's going to be a fundraiser this Saturday, May 27th, and you can look on womenspaces.com for all the information.